Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies All 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. Got the full crew back. Jason is a wizard at taking a week off. He took his week off starting on a Thursday all the way till a Wednesday.
Love it.
Right into Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Just brilliant.
Done. He's the master.
How was Thanksgiving for you boys?
All right.
That was nice.
Just a lot of driving back and forth because my brother's family comes there and then fills that house and I can't really spend the night. And then my son wants to spend the night with his cousin. And then I got to drive back to Bowie the next day.
My whole thing was we were in Jersey and I was just, the last three Thanksgivings have just been brutal afterwards from overeating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this one was all just about preparation.
Ah, very good.
So I worked out like for a good hour before.
Solid.
I took maybe three antacids before and after the meal.
Prepped yourself.
And it felt great.
Very good.
It worked out.
Very nice.
I
definitely pummeled a lot of pecan pie.
Although it's delicious.
That's why. Basically just for me because we had pumpkin pie.
Sure.
We had all kinds of desserts. But my mom knows I always have loved, and it's not a fancy one,
mm-hmm.
a giant pecan pie.
There you go.
And the giant pecan
takes.
Pie.
It's simple things.
I've had great, I've been to great restaurants and had pecan pie at these restaurants. But to me, the giant pecan pie is the best one that I've ever had.
You like what you like.
And everybody else had the other desserts. They had the pumpkin. There was birthday cake because my niece, it's her birthday. Pecan pie pummeled.
Very good.
All right, do we have Craig Hoffman on the line?
Of course we do.
He's just going through security.
Sounds like he's in the Charlotte airport.
At the airport, Craig?
Yeah, a lovely place the Monday after Thanksgiving.
And Craig Hoffman is brought to you by Dell EMC and TVAR Solutions, transforming the federal data center. So, Craig, a lot of positives coming out of this game, but tell us about Fabian Moreau. Let's start with Moreau because you had said he was terrible this year in the slot, but damn, he looks good on the outside.
Yeah, he's made some plays. You know, a couple of the interceptions are right place, right time, but you got to be in the right place to be there. So he certainly deserves credit for that and finishing plays. I mean, that's one of the things that I know a lot of people were frustrated about with Josh Norman, including Josh Norman, that the ones that did get to him, he would drop. And so to make those plays and finish and to clearly just be more comfortable on the outside makes you wonder why they ever slid him inside in the first place. As opposed to finding a different solution once they traded Kendall Fuller. But he's been really good. He obviously was a part of a secondary yesterday that was able to shut really the Panthers' offense down after that first two drives where they gained 150 yards and scored two touchdowns. And it looked really bad, like it was going to be a long day. They get everything figured out on the back end. Their pressure starts to get home, and they feast it from there.
Yeah, it was unbelievable, the pressure. I mean, what was the last time the Skins had seven sacks? That was awesome. Contributions from everybody. Ioannidis is just having an unbelievable year. He had another two. But then the guys off the street, Odom and Orchard, I mean, talk about their stories because that's just phenomenal.
I don't even know that if I know their stories yet. Like, they've been here so little time. You know, Odom's been on the practice squad most of the year, and was cut and then brought back last week. Nate Orchard, a guy who the most we know about his story is from when he was featured on Hard Knocks with the Browns a couple years ago, and he was one of the last cuts. And I mean, he looked explosive. He looked fast. I mean, sometimes at this time of the year, you just get fresh legs in there, guys who haven't played, and it's actually the best thing because they just, that little bit of freshness is enough to push them over the edge and be better than another alternative. And I don't know whether it's that or these guys just are in the right system with Minuski called a great game, whatever it is. They have gotten more exotic with their pressure, the last couple of weeks. It's almost it's almost like they've played the Jets and saw what the Jets did to them and went like, oh, wait, you can do that? You know, where they're bringing seven guys and doing some of these more exotic things, and the Panthers struggled to pick it up. They were clearly confusing Kyle Allen. He had no field vision yesterday, couldn't see anything, didn't know where his eyes were supposed to be. And I think the tape's going to be really interesting to watch because it seemed like the coverage was really solid on the back end, but I guarantee there's going to be some guys open and Allen not seeing him, which is the sign that you've done something to a quarterback. You've made him nervous about pressure. You've confused him with coverage. So it seems like they had a really good plan yesterday, and it worked really well after those first two drives.
Craig, yesterday was shaping up as a real breakout game for Montez Sweat, 1.5 sacks, and then he goes out with a quad injury. What's the prognosis on him? How serious does the coaching staff think it is?
Montez himself said it seemed to be fine. He was going to, you know, obviously feel it out as this week went, but felt tight and just couldn't get it loosened back up. But I do think it's something that should be pretty short-term, but he looked awesome yesterday. And maybe it is that just that little bit of difference between Sam and Will linebacker. You know, Ryan Kerrigan typically plays that weak side linebacker spot, and now Sweat plays it yesterday, and he's just explosive. He's not, you know, it's a slightly different angle or whatever the difference is. It's a lot of the same responsibilities, but he just, I mean, it was as good as he's looked all year, needless to say. And, you know, I think everybody's kind of been waiting for that. He looked awesome.
All right, let's talk about, obviously, the running game. You can see it for your own eyes. I mean, Geis, when healthy, is going to be a stud. Just got to keep him healthy. AP, just marvel at him. But I'm really watching the quarterback. And, you know, Haskins, again, modest numbers, but I'm seeing growth week after week.
Yeah, no, and that's the biggest thing is Dwayne doing stuff that he's just not done before. And that is kind of what you want, a command, a comfort, all that kind of stuff. And I am very curious to see moving forward if he does have a breakout type of game where all of a sudden everything comes together. Because what you're getting right now is pieces that come together. You're getting a little bit here, a little bit there. You're getting, okay, he's more comfortable. Okay, he's a little more accurate. Okay, he's, you know, yesterday, I know John and I, Kime and I were joking in the press box when he grounded that screen. Not intentionally grounded, but through the screen pass into the ground, because you're going, hey, that's growth. He had a couple of screen passes, one in each of the previous two games, where he needed to throw it into the dirt, and he didn't. And he tried to make plays running and lost yards, and you're going, okay, he gets it now. It's processing faster. And in a lot of ways, it's similar to a conversation I had, EB, with your boy Steven Sims after the game yesterday, where things are not as fast as they used to be. Instead of lining up and thinking, oh, my God, what am I supposed to do here? You line up knowing what you're supposed to do and just having that comfort of an understanding of snap in, snap out, what the plan is, and having seen some of the things that you're seeing before is definitely showing up. And I think that is the thing with Dwayne that is so encouraging, is he's clearly learning. And sometimes it's within game, sometimes it's game to game, but he has put together now a couple of games where you're going, all right, you've eliminated the turnovers. That was the biggest thing. All right, you've got your eyes and your feet to match up a little bit better. That's really impressive. Okay, the accuracy was a little bit better today. That's impressive. And so we have these critiques game after game, and I'm sure after watching the tape, like, I'll have a couple things where I'm like, all right, this is the next step. And, you know, when I point those things out, people freak out. How, oh, my God, you're so negative, this, that, the other thing. But it's not that. It's just like, okay, this is where the growth needs to happen. And the fact that every time we're pointing out, and it's not like, you know, we in the media are motivating this. These coaches are telling him the same thing. Which is way more important. You know, so every time his coaches are saying, hey, this is where the growth needs to happen, you're seeing growth, that's a sign to be excited about for Dwayne.
It also seemed like he just grew on the podium, because last week was a disaster. It was after the selfie. And even during the week, some of the quotes about why he was inaccurate, he's been kind of all over the place, saying it was his wrist, saying this, that, and the other. But he seemed a little more mature.
No, he did. And, you know, there was something he said in that post-game presser, too, where he basically admitted, like, I'm learning how to be a pro. And I think that is not just an on-the-field thing. I think that is an off-the-field thing. I think that is a all-encompassing, like, I am growing up very quickly because I have to, becoming an adult type of thing. Which, again, he's 22. But that's allowed. It's not a death sentence for him and his career that he's not mature and he's not an adult yet, because he's not. But the fact that he is putting in the effort, he is trying, and he wants to be good, and in fact wants to be great, and you see this really authentic growth, it seems like, week in and week out, I think is important because it shows that he can take coaching, he can take feedback. You know, even a little thing like, you know, when I asked him about if anybody had given him any gruff for getting out there for victory formation this week, and he said, everybody, but it's my fault, I did that.
Right.
And to see him own that in that moment and have some fun with it, as opposed to being like, oh, you stupid reporter asking me about this old stuff. Like, to actually have fun with it in that moment, I think, is a nice, mature sign of growth. And I'm really encouraged by what I'm seeing from him over the last couple of weeks and the things you're hearing behind the scenes.
Let's talk about the offensive line for a second. I think, without question, we have to say that moving Eric Flowers to left guard has been a damn near great success, right? He's been pretty damn good. I noticed that on Geis's touchdown run, he let him spike the ball there. That's been a brilliant move, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it really has been good, and it makes you wonder why the hell it took them so long to do it. You know, they kept saying, oh, well, we needed bodies to tackle, and oh, we needed... you know, just in case we wanted Eric to know tackle. And it's like, well, why? He needed to learn guard. Like, if you wanted to play him at guard, you needed him to start that transition. And they took forever to do it, but it certainly has worked out. You know, that's the whole reason Eric signed here, was because he wanted to revive his career, ironically enough, under Bill Callahan as his position coach. And obviously Bill's still coaching the O-line a little bit, but Phil Rauscher has done a good job as Bill's assistant and now the O-line coach. And Flowers has arguably been their best lineman all year. Sheriff has had a down year. Moses has had a down year. But both those guys played well yesterday. And I think that Flowers has been consistent. I mean, I don't think he's been great. You know, I don't know that he's playing at like a Pro Bowl level, but he's certainly playing at above and a replacement player level. And to see that after how bad he was at tackle for years and years, and to make that transition and to have the mental toughness it takes and the humility to switch positions after being a top 10 pick, I think is a real credit to Eric Flowers, because he certainly had his problems in New York, not just playing, but, you know, he basically fought a media member at one point. Like, there's a lot of stuff with Eric Flowers. To swallow all that, be a good soldier, a good teammate, and ultimately a good player, I think he deserves a ton of credit for that. And the team obviously deserves some credit for identifying the potential to make that switch and executing it at a pretty darn good level.
Well, Craig, I got to tell you, yesterday when Cakes and I talked to you, I was a little jealous weather-wise because it was so kind of nasty and gray and cold. But next week you're going to Green Bay, so I think we'll have it better.
Well, actually, we're not going to make that trip, so I might be hanging out with you guys. I need to know which glory days you're going to be at. So
I'll be
I might
Falls Church.
Okay, that's in my neck of the woods. I think I can come say hi.
Okay, no, they're not sending you to Lambeau. Okay.
Yeah, and now that I've seen the weather, I'm a little less upset that I'm not going to Lambeau, because it is supposed to be absolutely Wisconsin quality disgusting.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, Craig. Hey, we've got a couple wins to talk about. Makes it a little easier for you guys, so that's good for you guys.
Yeah, looking forward to coming back and seeing what the guys have to say today. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you, buddy.
All right, remember, a little bit later in the show, Morgan Moses, Redskins right tackle, will join us. He joins us at 8:20, and Chris Thompson, Redskins running back, at 9 o'clock here on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. Chucky's on a Victory Monday, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including priorities for life. The most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. You know, we should talk about the Ravens' victory yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
That was a great game.
Even though Lamar didn't have this huge passing game, he runs for over 100 yards.
Yep.
Passes for over 100 yards. And in the end, comes down to one last drive. They make the plays that needed to be made.
Well, three huge plays.
And they
plays.
Get a huge field goal.
I know Lamar did fumble going in, and they probably would have scored there. That was a huge play. But Robbie Gould's miss on the field goal was massive. Garoppolo's Jimmy Grape's fumble was massive. And I didn't like the fourth and one call.
Fourth down, they pass.
I didn't like that because they couldn't do anything in the passing game in the second half. And Mostert was carving them up.
He had a really good game.
I would have just spread it out and given it to Mostert and say, all right, go get me a yard.
Right. Go pick it up.
And they decided to throw it. It was batted down and... then, of course, they go in and get a couple key first downs and make them. Tucker's not going to miss.
No.
I mean, I don't care where that kick's from. He's not going to miss a kick like that.
Matt Valdez, you puffing your chest? How you feeling about your Ravens?
And by now, this is what I'm bitter at. I owe Sam Wiener $100.
This is nice. Matt Valdez.
Because, you know what? So does Valdez, actually.
You made the bet.
I bet under 10 wins for the Ravens against Sam Wiener, the biggest Ravens fans I know. And I got to give him 100.
Because Sam really needs that extra 100 bucks.
Oh, so Valdez did the emotional hedge and bet against his Ravens?
Well, it's just Sam's number for the win total is just so astronomical. You have to go under it every year.
What was it?
10.
10. It was 10. Ten's a push.
And then the Vegas number is 8.5.
Nine was a push. 10's a win. And they got 10. So I got to give him 100 bucks.
And now they're the one seed because the Patriots lose last night on Sunday Night Football to the Texans. Couldn't do anything offensively in the first half. Scored a couple of late touchdowns. Tom Brady on the sideline grilling his receivers. This is what I always say about the double standard. If it was another quarterback, people would be all over that quarterback. He said they needed to be faster, more explosive.
Well, I think, I guess. I think when you win, you can
he's
get away with anything.
Yeah,
you
lose. Got the pedigree.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If that was Cam Newton talking to his receivers,
he
has zero. You know what? He has zero Super Bowl rings.
But clearly,
he doesn't get
the
away
Patriots,
with it.
And I didn't see the game last night. I was sleeping. But just watching them this year, they clearly need help offensively. They've been winning a lot of games on the defensive side, and they're just not the same team offensively.
And everybody's afraid to say it. The decline has begun
of
for
course.
Tom Brady.
And we kind of saw it last year.
When you look at the numbers, it's middle of the pack. He can still win the Super Bowl because he can be an effective game manager and make enough plays, and he can still make some throws. But overall, he's just not what he was. And maybe some of it is.
He's still got enough game, though.
Some of it might be, you know, his outside receiving threats.
He's 5 years ahead of where Peyton was when he won his last Super Bowl. 5 years better. Peyton was so bad at the end.
But you know what?
I don't feel comfortable. If I'm a Patriot fan, I don't feel comfortable going to Baltimore and winning.
How could
there.
You?
Oh, no. I would pick the Ravens. Of
in years past, yes. Not this year.
I pick the Ravens.
How about if they play Kansas City?
In Kansas City?
Well, it's probably not going to be in Kansas City. I think they have a 2-game edge on Kansas City. Although, New England's next two games are tough.
Don't they play them next week? Who do they play next week?
I'm just saying in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
If it gets to the playoffs, they may still have a 1-game lead on KC because I think there's a 2-game spread right now.
I have to go back and check. But I'm just saying, if I'm the Patriots, I do not want to go to Baltimore and play them there. Years past, yes. They were favorites in Baltimore in the regular season. They were 3.5-point favorites, I think. If they played them this year in the playoffs, the Ravens will be favored by at least 3.
In 2 weeks, the Pats play at the Bengals. So that game is not difficult. So I'll have to look at week 14.
I thought they had a couple tough games remaining on their schedule. Maybe it's two of the next three games. Not quite
Chiefs
sure.
Are at the Patriots this upcoming Sunday, right, 4:25.
They play them this week.
Okay.
That's my point.
In Foxborough.
So they've got the Chiefs. Then who do they have? They've
at
got
the Bengals.
Then who do they have after that?
I have to look at week 16 now.
Might be Buffalo. Have they played Buffalo twice?
Week 16, they close out. Buffalo visits New England.
Right.
4:30 on a Saturday.
That could be tough. Buffalo gave him a tough game the first go-round. Now Josh Allen's playing better. Devin Singletary is starting to get involved. It's starting to get a little interesting in the AFC.
I'll just say this about Lamar. There were certain plays in that game where I thought San Francisco played a really good defensive game.
Yep.
Considering the weather. I mean, Lamar, when he gets loose, he's just so quick. I mean, you can't game plan for him.
Yeah.
You just can't. He's going to get his yards. But he made some big third down passes that I don't think he would have made last year.
Yeah.
So he clearly got better as a passer.
And just, they're so
especially
good
on the last drive.
They're so good in third and short and fourth and short situations, too.
Yeah.
Because the defense has to account for Lamar, and he can, if they need a yard, he can get that yard or two.
And they've gotten to the point where you don't even think about, well, will they go for it? I mean, they're pretty much going for it on fourth down. They've got the analytics to back them up. And they've crunched all the numbers. I mean, Harbaugh is willing to put it out there. He'll go for it, especially on fourth and short.
It's
and
just
that rushing attack.
With the tight ends that they have, and I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but with the tight ends that they have, they've got three pretty good ones. They've got two real good ones. And the fact that Lamar has improved his passing, that what they can do in the run game, just tough to defend them.
Well, they're the odds-on favorite. To win the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win it, but
I can see why they are.
They're the favorite.
Why does it seem like with Lamar, there's not that fear that there was for RG3 during his rookie year that Lamar's going to get hurt running the football?
He had
16 carries in this game.
Every time.
101 yards. Does he just handle it better?
Yeah, every time Robert got hit, it was awkward. He cringed every time
like
Robert
a car
got
crash.
Hit. Yeah, he just didn't know how to take a hit. Lamar, at the end of the day, Robert was a track star through a nice spiral. But he ran in a straight line, didn't know how to take a hit, didn't know how to slide.
Lamar looks more like a running back, I guess, taking the hits, right?
He just looks like a real football player.
He can dictate how he's getting hit, and I think that's a big advantage to him.
Because he runs up the middle sometimes.
Yeah, and then he'll dive forward and lean forward, so he's not getting contact below, around the knee area or getting slammed up high. He can kind of dictate how the defender is going to.
But like you said, just takes one.
Just takes one.
Hit.
And he'll get hurt.
You can get hurt in the pocket.
Yeah, of course.
He'll get hurt too.
Every time he runs, it's a risk.
Yeah. He'll get hurt, but he just doesn't look as.
Anytime a quarterback drops back, it's a risk.
Robert, every time it looked like a potential career ender every time he was hit.
You know?
I don't know. Just the way. He was awkward, dude. He was an awkward guy. It kind of gets me bitter because this is who I thought we had in 2012.
But it's
fun to watch. I mean, I say it's fun to watch, but it gets me bitter because I knew this could work, but it just wasn't the right guy.
Well, and then he didn't really want to run like he did as a rookie when he came back.
Oh, yeah,
back.
Then he gave up on it. Yeah.
He told the coaching staff, I'm not doing
this
anymore.
Those plays out of the
playbook. I know everybody says
And that's what worked for him was when he was running the ball like 10 times per game.
Yeah.
And that's what, Lamar's showing that he has improved as a passer, but let's be real. They don't win that game if he doesn't run the ball 16 times.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. It was
that's
hard
why
to throw.
Special.
On both ends,
look,
it was hard to throw. I mean, guys were dropping balls.
Improved as a passer, but he's not freaking Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I mean, what makes him special is his legs.
Right. He ran more than Darius Geis did yesterday.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is he made some really good throws, the first and 15 on the last drive. They get backed up to first and 15, and he scrambles right, and he threw like a sidearm to.
Yeah,
it was Hurst. It was nice. It was a nice throw.
Yeah.
And then he threw another nice one to Andrews, same drive. He just made some good throws on that particular drive that I don't think he would have made last year.
He's a great athlete. He's a better athlete than Robert.
Yes, he is.
He's more versatile.
And people love him.
Yeah, how could you not?
Like, that's the thing. Like, he has that persona that everybody loves him on the team.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a great leader, even as a young kid.
I like him. They're fun to watch. If you had to pick, like for me, I was a Redskins fan, you have to pick one. Every year it's different, but this year the fun team to watch is the Ravens.
By the way, he's the eighth leading rusher in the NFL with 977 yards.
Do you know BDK was ruining my Sunday by texting me about Lamar Jackson during the game?
Yeah. Why?
Because Kevin's father-in-law is, I guess, a huge Ravens fan.
Yeah.
And is all Lamar all the time for him.
Right.
And so he's watching, so he has something to talk about with his father-in-law.
Yeah, some bonding.
And then last week he mentioned how he's just so exciting to watch, and now he's texting me the entire game, just ruining my Sunday.
Just throw your phone away.
Flaming me.
Right.
Hey, he's a Ravens fan.
Asking dumb questions.
He's Team Lamar now, Valdez.
I know. The bandwagon's closed for Kevin.
He can't hop on.
It's already
He can't be a strap hanger.
Right. Maybe next year.
I would have blopped him so quick.
It is interesting, though, because a lot of people are wondering with the Redskins' demise. Now, the Redskins have kind of revitalized themselves a little bit here, right? There's a little bit of a pulse. They were dead. I've never seen them so dead as they were 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Lions game? $4 tickets.
I mean, I've just never seen anything so dead. But they at least have a pulse now. What percentage of Redskins fans have migrated over to Baltimore? It's been happening over the last 10 years, but small. Been a marginal.
I think if you had some fence sitters, the Lamar craze would tilt some of them towards
especially,
the
Ravens. I think it's geographic, right? If you live in Ashburn, it's going to be hard for you to make that transition. But if you live in Prince George's County, where you're right in the middle there.
If you live like in Howard County, like in Columbia.
Or Howard County, I think, is
right
already.
In the middle.
They're already Ravens, Ravens fans.
No, I think it's half and half. I think there's some old guard Redskins
there might be
fans,
old guard cakes, but I go to Howard County a lot.
Yeah.
There's Raven signs everywhere.
Yeah, sure. I think that's Ravens country.
I think I would consider it personally Ravens country. I think PG County is the ground to be gained, right? That's where you can get
and
those
old
stars.
I think Montgomery County, too.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Montgomery County.
I think it's mostly Redskins, but there's some tilt towards the purple.
Now, in D.C.,
there's a reason to watch them every single week.
Yeah. Right. They're exciting.
I would assume in D.C., for the most part, they'll stay Redskins fans, like if you live in D.C. But
I heard a crazy stat yesterday watching the pregame shows that last year, Patrick Mahomes set the fantasy football record for points scored, like 417 or 420.
Right.
Lamar's on pace for 470. He's on pace to shatter Mahomes' record. And Mahomes threw, how many touchdowns did he throw last year? 50-plus.
That's if it's a standard scoring league.
How many touchdowns did Mahomes throw for
I don't know. I mean, it's got to be around 50.
Yeah, I mean, somewhere in that range. And he's on pace to shatter the record for fantasy points scored by one player.
He's averaging 7 yards per carry, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Seven.
Well, everyone says it's different than what the Skins ran in 2012. I don't see a big difference. Now, I wouldn't focus on it. But every time I see Lamar handoff, he's got his hand right in the belly, and he's looking to pull it, you know, half the time. I don't know the difference. Looks like
the same
stuff.
He seemed
to
run a lot more of those sweeps and stuff.
Yeah.
He had 50 touchdowns last year, Mahomes, with 12 picks.
You know, we had Dave Richard on, and I asked him, because I'm like, you know, Lamar Jackson went undrafted a lot of rounds. But he said, you know, obviously it depends on your scoring. In a PPR league, I think it is, Christian McCaffrey by far is the highest scoring.
Full point PPR league, that's your guy, yeah.
But I guess in old school standard scoring, would Lamar be your guy? Because
well, it depends.
If you're getting some 6 points for touchdowns.
Some leagues score 4 for passing touchdowns, 6 obviously for rushing, which boosts his value. But if you get 6 and 6,
yeah,
like his value's
cool. Yeah, that's where I think you're getting. That's where I think you're getting
the
record.
Well, I've got Lamar Jackson on one team, and he's carried it, but it'll tell you how bad my team sucks because we still find ways to lose in fantasy. And I got Lamar because DJ Chark and Godwin, who should have had bomb days, look like,
nothing. Well, you know what? The Jaguars, they're getting everything they deserve for giving Nick Foles a big fat contract when they should have realized his magic ends when he leaves Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, they're paying for that's why they're Jacksonville.
They forced him back into the lineup when Minshew was playing pretty well, and he's been a big giant dud ever since he's been back in the
mix. I'm in a huge fantasy football game tonight. And I'm done for the week. He's got Russell Wilson. I lead by 30 points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I win, I'm in the playoffs. If I lose, I'm probably out, although I got a grasper based on points scored and all these tiebreakers. I got a hedge, I think.
I think you do.
Just to kind of save some money, I got a hedge.
Got a hedgy-poo it.
And bet some props on Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I agree.
Russell Wilson's going to score. He's either going to throw for 3 touchdowns or he's going to throw for 2 and run for 1 a night.
You would think.
Who do they play?
Vikings.
And the Vikings pass and defense are not good.
No.
So I think I've got a hedge just to kind of save some cash.
I think you're right.
What's he averaging per week in your league scoring-wise?
Oh, it's got to be in the 30s.
So it's going to be close.
It's going to be real close.
Yeah. By the way, Kirk Cousins was interviewed by ESPN because it's the Monday Night Football matchup, and he's got 21 touchdowns with 3 picks. I think it was Lisa Salters, I'm not sure, and asked him something like, your numbers are very similar to Russell Wilson. Why don't we hear your name in the MVP race? And he said, well, maybe if we win on Monday night. It's crazy. What if they win on Monday night, and you're talking about Kirk Cousins as a potential MVP.
I hope he does win, because then that'll silence some of the people who love to bring up, well, Kirk never wins big games. Kirk never wins in primetime. There was a lot of that when Kirk was on his way out of here in D.C. So, well, I'd love to see Kirk Cousins and the Vikings pull the upset. Probably not going to happen in Seattle.
What's
sorry,
crazy
draft.
Is, wasn't too long ago that his receivers were calling him out.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Diggs wanted out, and Thielen said, basically, we got to pass better.
Look, you know, a lot of that's on the coaching staff. The coaching staff that's calling the plays. They want to just run Dalvin Cook into the ground in the first month of the
season. They did. You know, it was crazy.
They're hiding Kirk Cousins.
They gave him $30 million a year, and then they tried to hide him.
Right.
It was the most bizarre thing I'd ever seen.
Can the Vikings hold Russell Wilson to two total touchdowns?
I don't know.
I don't think they can.
That's a tough ask.
I don't think they can.
On Monday Night Football?
He's really good.
Yeah. I mean, I think
30 points, though, is a lot for fantasy.
No, it's not.
No,
if you get,
not,
does
not
he get six per passing touchdown?
Yes. And he also
then
gets,
it's not a lot.
He also gets points per completion.
Rush,
not a full point.
And he's going to rush for 30 or 40 yards.
I believe he gets
think.
A quarter point per completion.
Wow.
It's a super flex crazy league. It's
so if he completes 20 passes, what is that? Is that another 5 points
yeah,
or so?
I mean,
ish?
Yeah, and he's going to rush
you know
for
what?
Some yards.
You're in so much peril right now.
That's
it's a very perilous situation.
That's why I have to
hedge it.
That's why I got to hedge.
Yeah.
But Lamar is just such a better passer than he ever has been, certainly in college. He never had 66% completion percent in college. No chance.
Hey, for those of you that do make the playoffs with Lamar, if you make it, his Week 15 matchup, it's making my pants move. The Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets. They're so bad. They lost to the Bengals.
Is it clearing your sinuses, though? It's not clearing
it's
your
not
sinuses.
Very, didn't get a lot of sleep. Look, I had Thanksgiving, followed by Feltsgiving, where I stayed up till 4 in the morning on Saturday playing poker. Now, the only advantage was it was in my basement, so I didn't have to drive anywhere.
That was nice.
Then I had to wake up and do the pregame show. Your boy's running on some fumes here. And the nasal is coming through.
Maybe you should enjoy the Mervis Diamonds Trunk Show. It's this weekend.
I could do that, JP.
Enjoy huge price reductions on diamonds and jewelry. Take home the famous Mervis Diamonds and amazing jewelry. The incredible Trunk Show savings will excite you. So whatever you do, don't miss the Mervis Show this weekend in Tyson's only. Run, don't walk. Financing is available. Nobody puts on a show like Mervis Diamond Importers. You'll see more in one weekend than ever before. Mervis Diamonds Trunk Show this weekend only in Tyson's. Details at MervisDiamonds.com or call 800-HER-LOVE.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on a Victory Monday, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including Priorities for Life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. We're going to get back into the Redskins in the 8 o'clock hour. Morgan Moses joins us, the Redskins right tackle. He'll join us at 8:20. Chris Thompson, Redskins running back, will join us at 9 o'clock.
Good to see him back on the field this past weekend. That was nice.
He was out for, how long was he out? A month?
At least, I think, at least three or four games.
Yeah.
I mentioned it briefly at the top of the show. I do think we should pay a little attention to how good the Terps hoops team is.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Anthony Cowan could be as good as he is. I always thought player.
That was the big question mark this year, was Cowan going to kind of take that next step as the senior leader? And he clearly has. And what they did to Marquette has the leading scorer in the country, Marcus Howard. He had 51 in the game before that. And they held him to 1 for 12.
Put the clamps on him.
I mean, that's just and he's got depth this year. You know, we all went out to practice, and we saw the depth.
Hey, we'll take credit for the heater that they're on. Yeah. We attended the practice. They've been on a roll ever since. Actually, they were on a roll before, too.
And then our boy Mike Bray comes to town on Wednesday. Notre Dame plays here in Maryland, so hopefully we'll have Mike on the show tomorrow. But great start for Terps, 8-0, and winning the Orlando Invitational.
So I think the rankings come out today. They're probably going to be number 3 in the country.
I wouldn't get too caught up in it.
I don't really care about the rankings.
They're a good team, but don't get crazy.
I generally don't. Just my son is into that. You know, a 12-year-old kind of gets into those type of things. Mm-hmm. So
a lot of basketball left.
Absolutely. It's December 2nd. Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it's the most depth that Turge has ever had.
Yeah. All right, let's go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation, honoring their sacrifice with our service to help our military veterans. Visit DonatePurpleHeart.org. And we can start with Purple. We've been talking about it. The Ravens beat the Niners 20-17. That means they're 10-2. They have the tiebreaker against New England, who loses to the Texans 28-22.
It also means that Sam Weiner, the sales stud here at 106.7 The Fan, is buying a new pair of Lululemon pants.
Yes.
$100 that Jason's going to ship him.
Yeah. And the Ravens...
I might get you one pant leg
are
there.
...are your one seed in the AFC now after that win. I will say... I said this on NBC Sports Washington last night. Everybody's going to focus on the Ravens side of it, and they deserve the attention. But I hadn't really been buying into the Niners.
How could you
that
not?
That NFC is going to be very interesting in the playoffs because Niners, Saints, Seattle, Green Bay, Vikings. You could toss out. Whoever wins NFC East is going to be in the playoffs.
But I'm saying, how could you not buy into the Niners what they did to the Packers the week before?
Yeah,
because
I don't know.
They're a defensive run-heavy team, and that's not sexy. Yeah. People don't.
It's probably
like
part
maybe
of it.
And maybe I'm one of those Jimmy G haters. You know how Richard Sherman defended him and saying, "What more can this guy do?"
Yeah.
But to play on the road in the weather conditions against the Ravens and be there. I mean, they could have easily won that game. Like you said, a couple key moments.
His numbers were fine. He's 15 to 21.
Right.
He tends to hold the ball a little too. We were talking about guys who just hold the ball a little too long. He tends to do that. And look, the weather completely impacted what both teams could do in the passing game. He had guys that dropped balls that were right in his hands.
By the way, Mostert.
I would say if there's one player that kind of holds them back offensively, it's him now. But maybe he gets better in the playoffs. The playoffs can be very difficult.
Well, the guy who was not holding him back was Mostert because he basically sent Tevin Coleman straight to the bench with his performance.
Yeah.
He averaged 7.7 yards per carry in that game yesterday, and he's the second leading average rusher in the league behind Lamar Jackson. He's at 5.9.
He was the second best player on the field yesterday.
He was very good.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, when I'm saying I'm not buying into the Niners, it's just that I buy more into the Saints. And we'll see. But now I can see the Niners beating the Saints.
But see, here's the deal. The Niners have already lost to the Seahawks, and they've got to play them again.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Niners... You know, right now the Niners are. If the Seattle Seahawks win tonight, I believe the Niners go from the one seed to the fifth seed.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody's talking about that.
I'm talking about
it. Nobody else. Everyone else is just putting the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. They're going to be a wild card team.
I am not.
The Seahawks can still lose another game and beat the 49ers.
Yeah, because the Niners' closing sched is not easy.
It's not easy.
Up against the Saints next in the Superdome. They host the Falcons. I mean, that team's Jekyll and Hyde. You never know what you're going to get with
then
them.
Then they play Seattle,
and in between, that's the Rams.
I know they've got, look. It's I'm not counting my chickens on the Niners.
That was kind of
one or the
you.
Two.
I was kind of burying the Rams, but I think they're just a game behind where the Vikings are. But so I'll mention the Rams. They just absolutely demolished. Had just a huge win yesterday against the Cardinals, 34-7.
That was one of Kyler's worst games. He looked bad. That was a bad game.
Yeah, I think the only
he had a hamstring or something.
Yeah, he wasn't going to play.
Well, he came into the game with a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
So he was questionable.
He did have a rushing touchdown, but yes,
but
Kyler
that was
did not play
incomplete
well.
Garbage time because I believe they were down 34-0 when
they
scored.
They were just getting smoked.
Goff finished with 424 yards, two touchdowns. So they bounced back from their defeat by the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Sticking in the NFC, the Packers beat up on the Giants 31-13. Daniel Jones, another three turnovers.
Aaron Rodgers 4 touchdowns in adverse
snow.
Weather conditions.
I know, crazy.
But I mean,
2 to Devontae Adams.
We shouldn't be surprised that he does that. I mean, he's used to playing in bad weather. He plays his home games in Green Bay.
So on Thanksgiving, the Cowboys lost to the Bills.
And Daniel Jones is turning the ball over at just an incredible
pace. An alarming rate.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving, the Cowboys lost to the Bills. Maybe we should talk about that. But that meant that the Eagles had a chance to get to 6-6 against the Dolphins and be tied atop the NFC East. But they lose to the Dolphins 37-31. Bad loss for the Philadelphia Eagles.
You up 28-14 in that game, too. Can't blow that lead.
Dolphins are no longer just an automatic W. Not even close. I mean, that team competes. Now, they're under-talented up and down the roster. I mean, they've got Ryan Fitzpatrick slinging the ball. But, look, when he's on, he can be a top five, top seven type of quarterback numbers-wise. Now, he can also go out and throw 4 picks and throw you right out of a game.
Right.
But the way he's been playing recently and the connection he has with Devontae Parker has been something that's been leading that team to more wins than people thought they would get.
The race for the number 2 pick in the draft is going to be tight. Now, I would assume Cincinnati is going to have the number 1 overall.
Right.
Although they did get their first win yesterday. But Dolphins have 3 wins. The Giants have 2. The Cardinals, I believe, have 3. The Falcons have 3.
Redskins have 3.
The Skins have 3. So it's going to be Detroit has 3.
The Chargers are trying to get there, too. They lose to the Broncos yesterday. Drew Lock throws 2 touchdowns in his debut.
And what did Phillip Rivers do on the very first drive?
Throw a pick 6.
Yeah. Well, I want to pick 6, but it was a pick.
Throw a pickle.
So your AFC picture, you've got the Ravens as your 1 seed, Patriots as your 2 seed. Steelers right now, your last wild card team, pretty much put away the Browns, any sort of playoff hopes with that win against Cleveland yesterday. Beat them 20-13 with Duck Hodges as your starting quarterback. Mike Tomlin, for whatever reason, his name was being mentioned as somebody that might get fired this year. He's a great coach. He's a great coach. They're using the 3rd-string quarterback, and they're right now a wild card team.
Yeah, he's using guys like Benny Snell as his running back. Because Connor can't
play.
I'm not going to question Mike Tomlin's coaching ability. I mean, he's got pedigree. But I will question Freddie Kitchens.
Yes.
Oh,
he's
absolutely.
He's a complete dope.
He's a one-and-doneer.
I mean, how do you lose to Devlin Hodges when you have the Heisman Trophy winner, the number 1 overall pick, you've got 2 stud receivers, you know, you've got Nick Chubb. How do you lose
to
that
team? You know what? Here's part of why. They don't know how to utilize Odell Beckham. He's just not.
That's on Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 57 grabs and 2 touchdowns.
Well, they target him a ton.
And we're in December.
By the way, look how many targets. They try to get the ball. Maybe Odell's lost it a little bit because they try and force feed him the ball. I look at his stats like he's on one of my fantasy teams, and sometimes he'll have like 8 targets, 3 catches.
He's been targeted 103 times. He has 57 grabs.
Yeah. So
he's basically catching half the ball thrown his way, a little bit more than that.
Maybe he's not getting
not good.
Like
that's not a good percentage.
Chiefs beat up on the Raiders 40-9 was the final. The Raiders have looked awful the last 2 weeks. Derek Carr has not looked good the last 2 weeks. Is he their quarterback next year?
I don't know. Where are all those people that were clamoring for John Gruden? John Gruden's a great coach. Look what he's doing with the Raiders. Not hearing a lot of that over the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Last 2 weeks.
They were in a good spot there a few
weeks
ago.
They were 6-4.
Okay, well, the wheels are coming. The wheels are coming off right now.
How about the Titans? Titans beat the Colts 31-17. Cakes mentioned this on our pregame show yesterday that since Ryan Tannehill has taken over as starter for the Titans, he's 2nd to Lamar Jackson in fantasy points.
Yep. He's been
really good.
He's been really good, and yesterday he was efficient. He wasn't, it wasn't gaudy numbers, but got the job
done.
I don't
think he turned the ball
over, here's what he has to major in. Turning around and stuffing the ball in Derrick Henry's midsection.
Right.
That's what he should major in.
He's a stud. And let's be honest, with the Colts had everyone hurt.
Right.
I mean, their running backs hurt, their top 3 receivers hurt. They had a tight end hurt. I think they got a couple offensive linemen that were down. So, and they were up 17-7.
Derrick Henry, by the way, already has 1,140 rushing yards, and he's found the end zone 11 times.
It's pretty good.
Just rushing the ball. I don't know what he's done receiving. He's not a big receiving threat. Anything he gives you there is just gravy. But he's going to give you 1,400 yards this season, at least.
We mentioned it. The Jags got embarrassed by the Buccaneers 28-11. Gardner Minshew had to come in for Nick Foles. And the Bengals did get their first win.
Marone is going to get fired. He's definitely going to get fired in Jacksonville. And Nick Foles will go down as one of the biggest quarterback free agent busts of the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
Giving him they gave him $88 million. Think about that. Nick Foles, he stinks.
I think Marone will get fired. Kitchens will get fired. I think Rivera gets fired. I think Dan Quinn gets fired. That's four.
That means Jay Gruden might resurface.
Who am I missing?
Hopefully Bill Callahan gets fired.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Callahan.
Yeah.
And then there's at least
Jason
one
Garrett.
One. Garrett's got to get fired.
Garrett will be fired.
Well, unless they win the division. What if they win the division?
They got to win playoff games. They got to get the NFC Championship.
I would say win the division at least one playoff win.
I think even more than that, Jace. I think they got to get an NFC Championship.
Okay, I'll throw him in there.
An NFC Championship.
All right, phone number's 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. We'll get back into the Redskins next on a Victory Monday. They're second in a row, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including Priorities for Life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.